So Tikkun HaBrit is one of the hardest ones, and one needs to really concentrate on, especially on that one. And the thing is that a lot of people tell me, listen, you know, every day I fail. So I, one day I hold, 2 days I don't, one time I fail. Okay, fine, you're human. But in the meantime, why feed it from the other end? There's no, you know, you don't miss out something from here because here it didn't work out. I think I told you once that I had this guy, he came to one of my lectures, he got very inspired, started coming to all the shiurim. Then he started coming to pray with us every morning. Every morning. You know what it means? This guy came every morning, pray shacharit with us, put the tzitzit on, the tefillin, everything. One day he didn't come. I call him up, what's going on? Were you sick today? He tells me, no, I'm done with this. That's it. I'm like, what do you mean you're done with it? He says, I feel like a hypocrite. I can't do this anymore. I told him, why? He's like, you know where I was yesterday? I told him, I don't care where you were. He's like, I'll tell you where I was. I went to a party. Said, no, okay, fine, no. He told him, you know what I did yesterday? I told him, I don't care what you did yesterday. He told me, I'll tell you what I did yesterday. And he starts telling me what he did yesterday. So he's like, I can't, you know, yesterday night I did all the sins in the book. Now I'm going to show up to the shul and put tefillin on? I feel like a hypocrite. So I told him, you must suffer from some rare disease of stupidity. Ma kesher, what's the connection even? The fact that last night you did a sin doesn't allow you to miss the prayer today. You're not exempt. You didn't get a discount now. On the contrary. Last night you did a sin and now you're not waking up in the morning, so you're mevatel. So many mevatel is not to do. So many positive mitzvot. Stop it. When you come in the morning to pray in the shul, let's count. You put tefillin on, it's 2 mitzvot to say. Positive mitzvot from the Torah, tefillin of the head and tefillin of the hand. You say Kriyat Shema, another mitzvah from the Torah. You put tzitzit on, another mitzvah from the Torah. 4 mitzvot doraita from the Torah. You pray, another mitzvah. While you pray, you'll put some charity, another mitzvah. You'll learn a few lines. You say a few chapters of Tehillim, another mitzvah. Look how many mitzvahs you're missing. So what if you'd sinned last night? So wake up in the morning, go to the mikveh, do tshuva, Bezrat Hashem, Hashem will forgive you. Why would you miss here so many things that you have to do because yesterday you failed? So what? So do tshuva. And I told him, you know, let's say hypothetically right now, today is the day you go up. That's it. An air conditioning falls from the sky, buries you in the ground. You're going to go up now with a bag full of sins. Don't you want to go up there with a barrel full of mitzvot? At least that you kind of balance it out. One has nothing to do with the other. And especially, you know, I was once also chozer b'tshuva. What do you think? I didn't battle with this. I became religious when I was 28 years old. For 28 years, I lived like any secular man. The whole thing, girlfriends, schmelfriends, the whole thing. It's not that I came from Mars and I don't know what it means. I also had time, yeah? It's not easy to get rid of this habit. But at least in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, now I'm not perfect, but at least I fail here, I'm going to ride away. I'll go to the mikveh. I'll say Kriyat Shema.
Bounce it up.
Yeah, I fix it right away. It's like a credit card debt. You don't pay the bill once a month, in a year you'll have a $20,000 debt. You paid every month the minimum, you paid up. So I'm not telling you it's okay, it's fine, do whatever you want, just say Kriyat Shema Lamita. That's not the advice. But the advice is, it's, you know, if you must sin, fine. You know that part of the sinning, that's part of the process. Sometimes Hashem wants to see how you're going to deal with the sin. Sometimes Hashem gives the permission to the Yetzer Hara to push you. Because He wants to see how you get up. He doesn't want to see how you fall. He knows you're going to fall. He gave permission to the Yetzer Hara to push you. He gave the pass. But now Hashem says, now you're on the floor, let's see how you get up. Let's see if you're going to fall into despair and stay on the ground, and wake up in the morning at 12 o'clock with your blanket over your head, and I'm not waking up today. Or if you get up in the morning and says, okay, fine. I messed up yesterday. Okay, I wake up in the morning. Let me do tshuva. Every Erev Shabbat, we read in Lecha Dodi. Look at the fourth verse in Lecha Dodi. It says, "V'itnarim me'afar kumi." The translation is, get up from the dust and shake up all the dirt from you. "Hitnarim me'afar kumi." Hashem pushes you to the klipot, to the dirt, to the dust. Now get up. Get up. Don't stay on the ground like a loser. Get up. That's what Hashem sometimes wants. He wants to see how you're getting up. If you're going to get up and brush the dirt off and says, okay, nothing happened. And the continue of the verse says, "V'livshi bigdei tif'ar techami," and wear the garments of the glory of our nation. Why? If you get up, you won the battle. You know, it's funny, it's actually ridiculous, but almost any man in the world enjoys seeing two men in the ring beating each other up. Any man. I don't know many men that don't like it. Put two guys in a ring, they start hitting each other, everybody's like, wow, oh, you know? Why? What, are you sadistic? You enjoy seeing two guys hitting each other? No, it's action. Let's see, you know, this guy does this move, the other guy moves, you know? Half the movies, it's just fighting. The fighting is the best part of the movie. Why? It's some type of a thrill seeing the action. And if it's fancy moves, it's even more thrills. So Hashem wants sometimes, He puts an opponent in front of you, He wants to see your moves. He doesn't want to see you like a wuss falling on the floor. He wants to see you like a fighter getting up. Itnari! Brush the dirt off. Like a round one. So what if you got knocked down? Sometimes some guys, you know, in the ring, they get a punch, they're on the floor, right away, they'll give up. No, get up like a fighter. You know, I'm not joking. Hashem wants to see a fight. Not that I'm saying that Hashem likes I'm not comparing it chas v'shalom, but sometimes Hashem wants to see, He wants you to prove yourself. He wants you to prove it. Yeah, fight the Yetzirah. What's the big problem? You know, the Zohar says, you know why you were created? Very simple. Kadit kafya sitra acha. You have to subdue the sitra acha, the evil inclination. You have to subdue it. He's your fighter. That's it. You were created to fight your Yetzirah all day long. Now most people, they get in despair. Oh, again the Yetzirah, again the Yetzirah. Another day. No, you were created to fight him. If you're fighting him, that's you're doing the ultimate kavanah, the ultimate meaning why Hashem created the world. You were created to fight your Yetzirah. You are this fighter. MFF, FFF, how it's called? MMA, MMC, also all these acronyms. UFC, whatever. Hashem wants you to be a fighter. Zohar is talking about it in many places. It kafya sitra acha. And if you do that, if you win, then the result is itapcha chashocha lenaora. You're transforming the darkness into light. Umeriru lemetiku. And the bitterness into sweetness. That's where you were created. To overpower Yetzirah. So you walk down the street, 100 beautiful women pass you. You look at 99 of them. One time you put your eyes down, you didn't look. That's it, one time you won. Now, 4th of July in Shemaim, they're opening champagne bottles. He didn't look! He didn't look! 99, he failed. So they're like, they're putting the bets in Shemaim, they put bets. He's not looking today. He's looking, he's not looking, he's looking. I'm not joking, I'm saying it in a funny way. One time you overpowered your tava, your yetzer, your desire, you won. The crowd, he didn't do it. You know the nachat ruach, the happiness, the how do you say nachat in English? The joy, the Hashem is like, wow, I put the yetzer hara in front of him. He punched it out. Did you see the flip he gave him? He gave him a fancy move and he knocked him out. Yeah, that's how it works. And then the result, you take something dark and you transform it into light. That's it. You bring light into this world. This is how powerful you are. There's a story in the Zohar that it says that the king wanted to see how strong his son is before he becomes king. So he hired a prostitute to go and seduce him to see if the son will be strong or the son will be Allah. So the prostitute said, you know, even though I got a commandment now from the king, I don't want to make the prince fail. I don't want this responsibility. So she went and hired another one and told her, you got to go to this guy and seduce him. It's the son's king. It's a test here. So the second one said, I don't want to be the one. I don't want to be one taking responsibility here. So she hired another one and hired another one and hired another one. And before you know it, it was like the 38 in the line, but the one on the bottom line, the 31 that was got hired, doesn't know it's the son of the king, doesn't know it was a mission from the king. She's just out to get the guy. This is our generation. In the beginning, it was the first prostitute. Forgive me how I'm talking, but that's the Zohar says that word, zona. Prostitute, somebody who does for money. So then many generations ago, it was the first one. In our generation, it was already the hundreds prostitute. She doesn't even know it's coming from Hashem. This klipot, the sitra acha, totally doesn't know that it's coming from Hashem. That's why the sitra acha in our generation is so powerful. The darkness, choshech kaful u'mechupal. It's a double on a double darkness in this generation. Because this prostitute is like generations already. She doesn't know that she's working for Hashem. The klipot in our generation, they don't even know that they're owned by God. They're their own entity, right? Mamash mitziyut bifnei atzma. It's our own entity. Doesn't even know that there's a master to the universe. That's how powerful it is. So when you overpower it, you know what it is when you overpower it? One time? 10 times? You can't imagine. You can't imagine the joy that happened in Shamayim. So we were created to fight this teava. This desire. It can be for men, it can be for women, it can be for money, it can be for food, it can be for money, it can be for any little thing. All day long we're fighting our teavot. And you know what's the advice for that? If you sanctify yourself with the small things and you practicing on subduing the yetzer hara on the small things, that's when you have the power to battle the big things.
What do you mean by the small
things? I'll give you an example. It's not a mitzvah to eat. During the week you eat in order to have power to sustain yourself so you can pray, you can learn Torah, you can serve Hashem. It's only a mitzvah to eat on Shabbat. On Shabbat it's a mitzvah. Every bite is a mitzvah. On Shabbat it's a hidur mitzvah, beautifying the mitzvah when you buy special food, best food, better wine. This is all a mitzvah. During the week, it's not a mitzvah. You have to eat the minimum of the minimum. Now, if a person has a habit all day, every day, eating steaks, shawarma, this, kebabim, hamburgers, why is he eating that? Tava, it's a desire, it's inclination to eat a lot of meat. You stop yourself from that, you segregate yourself, you making yourself holy. What's holy? Holy in Hebrew is kadosh. Kadosh is not necessarily kadosh, like something holy. Kadosh is muvdal, separated. So if I separate myself from worldly pleasures, then I'm subduing my, you know, I'm walking in the street, I feel like buying now this ice cream. What do you need the ice cream right now? Buy ice cream on Shabbat. You know? Spoil yourself on Shabbat. In my house, only Shabbat we have chocolate and cake and ice. My kids don't eat this junk in the week. Shabbat. Only Shabbat. Why? Because when you're practicing, you know, your Avodat Hashem is like a muscle. You practice your muscle more, 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 the muscle becomes more, you know, used to it. I don't know the word in English. In Hebrew muscle it's called, I don't know, in Hebrew it's called sibolet. You know, you work it. You go into shape. Take now some guy didn't work out for 10 years, tell him now go to the gym. He's, after a day he's like, oh. But when you work out all the time, you build this ability. So same thing with Avodat Hashem. So when you practice constantly to this refraining of not taking, then you, when it comes to the real things, it's easy for you. You're already trained. This comes from the Midata Gvura. Gvura is severity. Gvura, it means that you're pushing away something from you. So you have to know how to balance yourself. So if you're constantly working on the motion of the action of refraining, I don't need this right now. I can live without this right now. I'll minimize my pleasures during the week. Shabbat, everything you do that brings you pleasure is a mitzvah. During the week, it's not a mitzvah. You just do it because you have to do it. I'm just giving you one example out of many. So the more you practice during the week, you don't enjoy things that you are permitted. This is kadeshet atzbecha b'mutar lecha. Sanctify yourself with the things that you are permitted. So if you're doing, if you're practicing it, when it comes to the time to deal with the big thing, you're already in shape. You're working on the small things, on the refined things. By default, the harder things will be much easier. So it's easier said than done. But the thing is, if you have the right tools and the right guidance, then you know how to make yourself this warrior. MFA, AAA, MMA. You want to be a world champion. You want to be the one who wins. Because that's what you were created for. And every time you fail, then, you know, in Shamayim, you know, they lose the bets. They lose the bets on you. Then they don't want to bet on you anymore. So the thing is that, you know, the only way you can acquire the knowledge how to, you know, deal with this world, you have to go and learn. You have to go and learn a lot of Torah. You have to, not just reading the Parashat HaShavua, that's nice, but you have to mamash learn how to deal with this world. And the only thing that will really teach you how to deal with this world, especially in our generation, is only Chassidut. You have to have tools. Learning Parashat HaShavua is very nice. You have to learn it. What is the difference? Chassidut, the thing is like this. Many, many years ago, came the Zohar. The Zohar is what's called Razin the Torah, the secrets of the Torah. But for many years it was concealed, for many, many reasons. Then about 500 years ago came the Arizal, and he started taking all this Kabbalah and started teaching it. But even then it was very, very hidden. It wasn't accessible to anybody. There's reason for that. But then came the Baal Shem Tov, and he brought down the Razin de Razin, the secrets of the secrets. There's a story that the Baal Shem Tov on Yom Kippur went up to the chamber, he went up to Shamayim, different chambers in Shamayim. And he went to the chamber of Mashiach. And he saw Mashiach and he told him, when are you coming? So Mashiach told him, whenever your well springs will spread out. Sheyafutzu ma'antecha chutza. You have to teach the world this Chassidut. Chassidut is taking the secrets of the secrets. This is how it's called, Razin de Razin. The secrets of the secrets. Now, if now you open a book of Kabbalah, I guarantee you, you're not going to understand one word there. Not you, anyone. Open now any book of Kabbalah, you're not going to understand nothing. Why?
Because I don't know enough to begin.
It's not you. I'm saying anyone. Me too. Think I understand something when I open a book of Kabbalah, talking about all sorts of things. Chassidut comes and takes Kabbalistic terms and Kabbalistic principles and concepts, and it dissects it, opens it up, and it chews it for you, it dissects it for you, and comes and tells you, here you are, the secrets of the secrets.
What is the book of Tanya?
Tanya, yeah, Tanya's Chassidut. No, that's Musar. Likutei Moharan is Chassidut. Tanya is the basics of the basics of Chassidut. But there's so many. There's bookshelves full of Chassidut books. Thousands. The thing is that it says about the Zohar, why everybody starts learning Zohar? 50 years ago, ask any Sephardi person, ask their father or their grandfather, the Zohar, that was like the book that you weren't allowed to touch. The grandfather would pull it out on Shabbat. Concentrate on the words. Don't get close. Ask your parents. No, don't get close. Now every Shmo reads it. Doesn't know that it understands anything. It doesn't matter. Why? It says in the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, with this book, you're going to go out of the Galut. With the secrets. You know that The entire Torah Kabbalah, the teachings of Kabbalah, that's how we're going to serve Hashem when Mashiach is going to come. It's a way of life, Kabbalah. Kabbalah wasn't invented a couple hundred years ago. Adam HaRishon wrote the first book of Kabbalah. He got all the secrets. He actually didn't write it. He got it and then he passed it on to Shet and Noach, and then Avraham Avinu came and wrote it. This is Sefer Yetzirah, the first Kabbalah book. They had Kabbalah books before that. Just nobody taught, nobody learned it. You know all the Shvatim, you know, we learned it a few weeks ago, that Yosef came and told Yaakov about all the things that the Shvatim would do. There's a question, what? Yosef HaTzadik. That's his title, Yosef HaTzadik. You know, all our sages, they have a title. Not the sages, they're our forefathers. Avraham Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was our rabbi, he taught us the Torah. You know what was the title of Yosef? Yosef HaTzadik. He was a tzadik. The tzadik went and said Lashon Hara about his brothers? No. It says that Yosef used to go back to Yaakov and report.
Well, he did it for...
No, no. But the sod here is that the Shvatim, they knew Kabbalah. They knew Kabbalah Ma'asit. Practical Kabbalah. So they were doing things according to Kabbalah. Yosef HaTzadik saw it. He knew what they're doing. He's not stupid. He used to come to Yaakov and says, they're doing Kabbalah Ma'asit, practical Kabbalah. People are looking at them and it looks like they're doing witchcraft and idol worship and all sorts of things. You got to tell them to stop. So Yosef didn't say Lashon Hara. He just worried what's called Mar'ita Ayin. You know, sometimes you're not allowed to do things. You're permitted according to Halakha to do it. But if somebody would look at you and think you're doing something wrong, this is called Mar'ita Ayin. Somebody looks at you. I'll give you some an example. According to the Din in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to start, for example, a washing machine 5 minutes before Shabbat. Okay, why? You're allowed to. Because you started the Melacha before Shabbat. The fact that the washing machine is going through Shabbat, yeah, I did it before Shabbat. But only because Mar'ita Ayin, if my neighbor will pass down the hall and hear the washing machine doing a noise in Shabbat, they'll be like, what? He's doing laundry on Shabbat? Just because of that, you're not allowed to do that. This is called Mar'ita Ayin. Somebody will look at that you're doing something, even if you're permitted, but he will interpret it the wrong way. So just because of that, you're not allowed to do that. So in the particular case with the Shvatim, with the tribes, They were doing nothing wrong. You know, they were eating ever min ha'chai. They were eating a piece of a live animal. But they were doing what's called Kabbalah Ma'asit. Or the real Mekubalim, they take the Kabbalah and they do all sorts of magic. Not magic, but they know the secrets of the universe. They know how to manipulate the code of the world. It's called Kabbalah Ma'asit. You know how to do that. So Yosef HaTzadik was worried that people would look and say, hey, look what they're doing. The sons of Yaakov, that's what they're doing. So Yosef understood what they're doing. So Kabbalah we already had 4,000 years ago. He even says, Moshe Rabbeinu, all the plagues that he did, he used to say all sorts of psukim from Kabbalah. And that's what he was able to do it. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu talk Lashon Kodesh to Paro. Now we learned it now last week. Moshe Rabbeinu would talk to Paro in Lashon Kodesh, and Aaron was translating, so Paro would understand. But it says that Moshe Rabbeinu would say all sorts of combinations in Kabbalah Ma'asit and brought the plagues. So they had Kabbalah even then. It was just concealed and hidden. There's reasons for that. The generation was not ready for that. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar, with this book we're going to go out of the Galut. So came, and we had to wait 1500 years for the Arizal to come, and then all his disciples start teaching, writing books. Arizal didn't write books. It was the Kitvei Arizal, the scripts. But came Rabbi Chaim Vital, his processor, his Talmid, started writing books. And then came more Talmidim and write more books. But even up until today, nobody really learns. Very few people learn books of Kabbalah. Our mind doesn't really understand this. Arbes Rimonim, all these books, it's talking about things. What are we going to do with it? Came the Baal Shem Tov, started teaching Chassidut. You ask what's the books of Chassidut? Even the Baal Shem Tov has Keter Shem Tov. Read these amazing gems. comes his processor, the Magid for Mazrij. Magid for Rav Yaakov. It's a book, unbelievable gems. Unbelievable gems, a book this thick.
It's called Keter Shem Tov.
Keter Shem Tov is from the Baal Shem Tov. There's all sorts of books from the Baal Shem Tov, but his processor, the Magid for Mazrij, he has a book, Magid for Rav Yaakov. It's this book like this thick. Unbelievable Hasidut. Comes the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. Hasidut from here to the moon. There's so many books of Hasidut. That fixes the Mochin. Hasidut is general for everybody. You have to learn everything else. You have to learn Nigla, you have to learn Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnayot. You have to learn everything. But the secrets of the secrets, Razin de Razin, Hasidut in our generation, gives you the tools. Tools, how to deal with the world. How to deal with what's going on. I'm going through a lot of emotions. A lot of things are going inside me. How am I dealing with it? How am I dealing with the fact that I'm constantly failing? I don't want to fail. I don't want to lechalel tabrit. I don't want to do this. I don't want to lie. I don't want to. Why am I failing all the time? Most people, they fall to despair. They mamash fall to despair. Noflim beyosh. They don't know how to get up. They don't have tools. So comes Torah Chassidut. It gives you tools. Tools how to deal with this world.
Isn't any time somebody davening is unlocking the codes also?
Davening is a completely different thing. Davening, first of all, three times a day you call home. Hi, Abba. Hi, Dad. I'm good. Can you send me some money? I don't have money in my account. Can you help me? Can you take me? Can you give me? Can you provide to me? You call your father. It's a time that you call. Simple time. You do private time. You and your father. It's more than that, you know what really tefillah means? What it does? You have back pains? Where do you go? Chiropractor. It adjusts your back. Ah, you go out like a... That's davening. You go to a spiritual chiropractor. That's it. Adjusts you. You know what holds your entire body? Your back. If your back is out, you can't move. Tefillah is what it corresponds to the vertebrae. It holds your body. It's the only time you connect to Hashem in a way that He can actually give you what you need. I talked about it the other time. We talked about it that you, on Rosh Hashanah, you get a bracha. Hashem writes a check on Rosh Hashanah. Mi yichye, mi yamut, mi ani, mi asher. Who's going to live, who's going to die, who's going to be poor, who's going to be rich. Everything is written on Rosh Hashanah. And then you have three times a day to start transforming this blessing into this world. Hashem can give you a $10 million check on Rosh Hashanah. If you don't materialize the blessing, it stays there. It doesn't go to waste. You don't do that, you go up to Shamayim, they'll give you the checks. But you need to materialize it in this world. How you materialize it? With 18 blessings. You materialize it with your mouth. Our mouths are going to be like the bulls on the altar. Once they used to do they had Beit HaMikdash. You didn't have to pray. Now we don't have Beit HaMikdash. We don't have the sacrifice. We do it with our mouth. Three times a day, you bring down this bracha to the world. If not, it stays up there. You can't get anything without praying. Praying, you're opening a channel that Hashem can give you your sustenance, parnasah, your health, everything, your peace of mind. We're asking Hashem, we're praying. Praying is a very powerful thing. Maybe not next time we'll do a shiur about praying. If a person doesn't pray three times a day, it's going to have a problem. It's almost like calling your boss and telling him, I don't feel like coming to work this week. Can I still get paid? He's going to tell you, no. I'm writing off your vacation. You know, there's a contradiction between different sages. If it's a mitzvah from the Torah, if it's not a mitzvah from the Torah, Rambam says it's mitzvah d'oraita. Avodah shebalev. Avodah shebalev is tefillah. The work of the heart, avodah is tefillah. Mitzvah d'oraita. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. You have to pray. Avatim et Hashem b'chol levavchem. Pray. A man that doesn't pray three times a day, he's lacking everything that he needs to get. He's not doing a connection. You know, in Hebrew, the word praying is tefillah. Comes from the word tafel. Tafel is something that is... how would you translate tafel?
Secondary?
Tafel is something that is annulled to something that is more important of it. Kind of. I don't know how to really translate tafel. But it's not the main thing. It's the least main thing. You become one with Hashem. You become annulled to Hashem. You become tefil to Hashem. You're able to get the bracha. That's why you say in the end of the Shemona Esre, "V'nafshi kafar kol tiyeh." I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Tefillah is a very powerful thing. If you look in the beginning of the tefillah, right from the beginning, we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Every one that you say Elokei Avraham, you triggering, I don't know if that's a word to say,
triggering
the power of Chesed of Avraham. You're triggering it in you.
Triggering.
Elokei Avraham. You're triggering the power, the midah of Chesed in you. You're opening it. You're revealing it. Elokei Yitzchak. You're bringing in you. You're enlivening the power of Gevura. So you'll have the power to be able to stop your Yetzer Hara. Tefillah is not that's not to make your life annoying. Nothing Hashem gave us is to make our life annoying. Every word that comes out of your mouth during the tefillah has power. If you just look at the text, there's a book, it's called Perusha Milot, the explanation of the words. Learn that, you'll see what it means. What's tefillah? It's not easy, I know it's not easy. It's annoying. 3 times a day, go to the shul, same text, it's boring every time, standing, sitting. You know? There's a reason why a lot of people say, why can't you give me every day a different text? Let's make it interesting. There's a reason why it's constantly repeating the same thing. Tefillah is a very, very powerful thing. You can't sustain in this world without tefillah, without praying. Our forefathers, you see, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one, I don't know, how do you say, instated, he created one of the tefillot. What word would you use? Excuse me?
Instituted.
Abraham Avinu instituted Shacharit. Yitzchak Mincha. Yaakov Arvit. They prepared it for us. They were able to do it without talking. What we learn from tefillah is you learn it from the dream of Yaakov that he had the ladder. Sulam mutzav arza v'magia shamayma. The ladder stands on this ground, but it takes you all the way up to the heavens. This is tefillah. You're building a ladder that connects the supreme world and the lower world. The physical world to the spiritual world. You create this ladder. So it's a fundamental part of our day. Have to do tefillah. So the thing is, a lot of people, women think that they're exempt from tefillah. Women are not exempt. They have to pray at least once a day. You know, in the Ashkenazim, they have to pray twice a day. But a man has to pray 3 times a day. You have to pray 4 times a day. Kriyat Shema LaMita. There's no exemption. There's no discount. The only a prayer that is, it's not a chovah, it's benching, same Birkat HaMazon. But it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch, you pray, you learn, and then you eat. Pachel Shacharit, you have to eat it. It's a mitzvah. You don't have to, but a person that just says Birkat HaMazon every day, that does it as part of his day, it's a huge mitzvah. I'm not talking right now of the mystical part behind it. I think we talked about it last week, that this power of emunah, the faith. A lot of people, they have a very, their power of faith and trust in Hashem is very, it's not so strong. Why? Because the emunah, the power of faith is built in your soul from the day you were born. It's built in. You just have to dig in deep to reveal it and pull it out to the surface. And one of the ways of doing it is Birkat HaMazon, saying benching. That's what Avraham Avinu did with his guests. He made them bench. Has the power to pull out from the depth the power of emunah. So praying is one of many, it's just a way to connect to a God, to Hashem. So praying is very, very important. Bezrat Hashem, maybe one time we'll do a shiur about praying and its powers, and why we do it, and why you don't want to miss it. But I think for now, what is this? Is it? That's the time? One?
Well, we think so. We have time.
You have time. maybe you have time. Bezrat Hashem, you're going to say Kriyat Shema and Lamita tonight. מחר בבוקר יפרינג הפרי שחרית, דן מנחה, דן ערבית. And learn Torah. You gotta learn Torah. As much as you can. Any questions? No questions when you didn't listen. You mean standing on the bed?
Oh,
sitting on the bed? Better not to. When it says ala mita, doesn't mean al on, rather samuch, right before you go to bed.
The blessing for Baruch HaMapil with the Shema Malchut, you say it on the bed?
Yes. That you have to say. Once you say Shema Malchut, you can't walk, you can't eat, you can't talk, you can't nothing.
And then just close your eyes.
The thing is that different nosachim have the order different. In many Sephardi nosach, the amapil is in the beginning. So if you're saying it right before you go to bed, so sit on the bed, say the entire thing, and then go to bed. But if you want to do some more things before, then don't say it with Shem v'malchut. Then before you go to bed, you say it and you go to bed. Don't talk after that. Better not to talk. It's a hefsek. You know how times when you wash your hands for bread, and everybody sits at the table. You can't have a hefsek between the action and the bracha and the actual action. When you say amapil, that's it. There's a hefsek if you talk.
If you say amapil and you're about to go to sleep,
and then you can't fall asleep.
You want to go to the bathroom?
No, bathroom is fine.
You can say asher yatzar after.
Ah, you don't have to. If you're only doing number one, don't say asher yatzar. I'll just go to bed. So, because you say it first thing when you wake up in the morning, in Birkot HaShachar. Same thing in the middle of the night when you wake up, you don't say that. But the thing is that this is...
Do I say Asher Yatzar in Birkot HaShachar?
Yeah.
Even
if you didn't do anything. The thing is that most people wake up, they go to the bathroom.
That's what I'm saying. So I say it in my house, but then I go to pray. Should I repeat it again?
No. The thing is that if you're saying Birkot HaShachar in the shul when you pray Shacharit, and first of all, you can't say anything in Torah before you say Birkot HaShachar. You can't say anything. That's why in Birkot HaShachar there's Birkat HaTorah. You can't wake up in the morning and say Asher Yatzar and then go to the shul and say Birkot HaShachar. You can't. If you want to, if you're davening nets, or you go from the shul from your home straight to the shul, it's okay, so say Birkot HaShachar. But if you wake up in the morning, and you know it's going to take you another hour before you come to the synagogue, you have to say Birkot HaShachar at home. You can't say anything Divrei Torah without saying Birkot HaShachar. So if
I use the bathroom, I can't say Asher Yatzar right away?
The best order is you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, you say Modeh Ani. First of all, you don't get off the bed, you don't start walking around, you get up, you say Modeh Ani, Lefanecha Melech Hai V'Kayam. Most important. Then you put a bucket with water next to your bed. So first thing you wake up in the morning, right away you do washing of the hands. In halacha it says that you can walk arba amot. But it doesn't necessarily mean, I sometimes see people, they wake up in the morning, they go, you know, like, they make these huge steps. I had one time, this guy, he slept over. I see him in the morning going like this. You know, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, Arba Amot, 4 steps. I told him, no, it's the time that will take you 4 amos. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how fast you have to do the Ntilat Yadayim. You don't just walk 4 steps. It's how long will take you to take four steps. That's how fast you have to do the Ntilat Yadayim. That the Ruach Tumah starts going crazy. The spirit of impurity.
If I remember correctly, I read somewhere that it's a little bit far away from you. You could take 4 steps, stop, take another four steps.
That's down. If. There's a lot of ifs, but you don't want to get to that if. Let me tell you the reason why you don't tilat yadayim first thing in the morning. When you go to bed, we just said, you put guards around your body. Right? Now, the Gemara says that sleeping is 1/60th of a death. So there is a lot of impurity on the body. It's called Ruach Tuma, a spirit of impurity, because the body is like kind of dead. Then you come back in the morning, the soul comes back into the goof. Now the soul, the neshama, doesn't go into entire goof. The neshama only comes till the wrists and till your ankles. The nefesh goes into the fingers and to the feet. So all the spirit of impurity moves away from the neshama, from the body, because the neshama comes in, but it doesn't move from your hands, because the neshama is not here. The neshama comes all the way to your wrists. So right away you do netilat yadayim. Why? Because you wake up in the morning, you have spirit of impurity, ruach tuma al yadayim, on the hands. All you need to go like this, that's it, it's on your eye. You go a little bit like that, like this, you're full of tuma. It's not funny. People wake up in the morning, straight away they go like that, that's it. A spirit of impurity is on their eyes, a shield on their eyes. So they don't see things clear. Their eyes get drawn to impurity. It's little things that if you really sanctify yourself, you mekadesh et atzmecha, you bring this Holy Spirit on you. So you want to wash your hands right away when you wake up in the morning, because there's a very strong impurity. The ruach tuma, the power of impurity that's on your hands in the morning, is extremely powerful.
You say nothing at the name also?
No, you just wash it. Yeah. It's not clean water. It was standing there the whole night. It's just to at least give you the time to go to wash your hands.
Let's say I have the bowl of water. I wash my hands when I wake up, and I go to the bathroom, wash them again, and say Netilat
Yadayim. Yeah, no, but you don't wash it in the toilet. You can wash the water, and you can do the Netilat Yadayim in the toilet. The best thing, you go to the kitchen or something. You wash first of all. You wash your hands. Leave the bowl next to the bed. Now go to the kitchen. Some houses they have the wash outside, but you go, make sure you don't wash it on plates in the sink. You wash your hands, then you go, you throw the water in the toilet. You don't say any brachot yet. You can't say any brachas when your mouth is dirty, so you brush your teeth. Then you wash your face, you clean yourself up a little bit, you get dressed. Then you go to the kitchen, and then you do all brachot ha-shachar. So all this is like 5 minutes after you woke up, but you can't say any bracha before you wash your face, you have to wash your mouth too. You brush your teeth, you get ready, then you say Birkot HaShachar. Now again, I know people that from they get dressed, they go straight to the shul. They don't do anything. They want to say Birkot HaShachar in the shul, fine. But till you say Birkot HaShachar, you can't talk anything in Torah. Bring me the Siddur for a second, I want to show you something. And that's all the Siddurim. If you look at Birkot HaShachar,
I think it's for a house, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
So this is
better not to. If you don't have any other option, then close the bowl. But it's not really the same. Better not to do it in the bathroom. Look, if you're stuck.
Anyways, you dry your hands, then you come out the bathroom, you see the bach.
No, the actual netila. Not good to do it in the bathroom.
For anything, what about for Shayatah? So you do number two over there. You wanna do
it's not good to do Netilat Yadayim in the toilet. Look now here in the bathroom. I went now to the bathroom. The sink is outside. Yeah. That's not good to do Netilat Yadayim in the bathroom. A bathroom is a very dirty place. You don't want to do a mitzvah in the bathroom. Now look, if you're stuck, you're in the airport. I now fly every day. I don't have a tap outside. So I go to the furthest away sink. But in your house, so you go, you spend the extra 30 seconds to walk outside and do it. Not good to do it in the toilet. To close the top is like if you really don't have an option. Look in Birkot HaShachar. This is a Sephardi Siddur. First you say Birkot HaShachar, but right away it says, Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav. You cannot say any Torah before you say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Al Divrei Torah. If you don't say that, you can't say anything. So you can't say Birkot.
Hmm? You listen to a lecture.
Technically, you can't do anything. You can't say nothing. You can't hear anything. You have to say Birkot. You have to do this at least right away. Then you have another one here. The thing is that if you go through all of it, you understand what it means. The reason why you say this one, you have to say some Divrei Torah first thing in the morning, so you say Birkat Kohanim and all this. But if you didn't say Birkat Torah right in the morning, you can't say nothing without saying this one. This allows you to start saying Birkot. So you can wake up in the morning, say Asher Yatzar, and then an hour later go to shul and say Birkot Torah.
So once I finish all everything I do in the morning, the shower, brush my teeth, everything, then I would say
the whole thing.
Asher Yatzar also, right?
If you didn't say that before, you can't say it twice.
So I'm not supposed to say it before.
Exactly. So then you say Birkot HaShachar. Look, the ultimate way is to get up in the morning, get dressed, brush your teeth, go straight to the mikveh, from the mikveh to the shul, and whether it's after the mikveh or in the shul, say Birkot HaShachar. But the normal people, they don't do it right away. I wake up in the morning, I do exactly what I told you. Modeh ani, washing next to the bed, going to the kitchen, washing my hands, going to the bathroom, brush my teeth, wash my face, get dressed, go to the kitchen again and say all the Birkot HaShachar right away. Then I go. Go to the mikveh, go and pray. But till I get to the shul, what if it takes me now 2 hours to get to the shul? Not everybody prays nets. Most people don't pray in the nets. So the how you start your day is very, very important. You start your day all chukmak, the whole day will be... You want to start the day good. And the thing is that the power of impurity that you have on your body at night is a very powerful tuma. It's very, very powerful. So right away you want to wash your hands. Right away. And then right away you want to say Birkot HaShachar. Why? To say some Divrei Torah, bring some Kedusha into your body. So... That's exactly what I said before in Kirat Shema. Your body is like a corpse on the bed at night. You wake up in the morning, you want right away to bring Kedusha on the body. And for sure, till you wash your hands with clean hands, don't touch anything. Don't touch any parts of your body. It's mamash tuma on your hands. And the people, most people wake up right away. They go like that. Scratching here, scratching there. You have tuma, you have impurity on your hands. So when I first became religious and they told me that they put the bucket next to the bed, I thought, crazy. Bucket next to the bed? I heard once from my rabbi that when you put, the bucket next to the bed, when you say, I just said before, we say Shishim Giburim Savivla, we put the angels around the bed, the bucket next to the bed is the biggest malach. It's an angel standing like this next to the bed, like the biggest goon from all of them. Doesn't let anybody come. Just the fact that you have this bucket next to the bed. The fact that you prepared in the morning the power right away to clean the tumah. Because I asked him, should I put these buckets to my kids? So I do it to my kids for chinuch, for educating. That my little kids, they're autopilot already. They put the bucket. We have a ceremony when they go to bed. They brush their teeth, like every normal kid. They put pajamas, all this. Then they take the bucket to the room. They have their names on it. They have their drawings on it. They say Kriyat Shema. They say everything. My 3-year-old says Kriyat Shema. A lot of people say, it's a kid, he doesn't need to do anything. Yeah, you're right, he doesn't. But if I train him, when he's 3 years old, to say Kriyat Shema L'Amidah, when he's going to be older, it's going to be a normal, it's going to be part of his day. He's not going to be able to go to sleep without saying Shema. It's going to be in his system. Besides, a kid is holy. Why shouldn't he say Shema? He has a holy neshama. Why shouldn't he bring Kedusha into the world?
One again.
It's not really a mitzvah for him, but in the mystical part of it, yeah, a kid has a lot of power. There's a question in halacha if a kid says a bracha, if you say amen.
Yeah?
No, there's a question in halacha. A kid now says a bracha, do you say amen? A lot of poskim say no. You don't say amen, it's a kid, it's stam.
I know it.
But if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if it was this the current Lubavitch Rebbe or the previous one. I don't remember which one of them says, no, yeah, of course you say amen. His bracha is more powerful than yours.
It makes sense.
So, no, because our kid, his mouth doesn't have lashon hara. His mouth never sinned. He doesn't have any sin. His bracha is more. We don't see Hashem. We don't even understand. We don't understand. We do it like robots. Kids are so naive. They're so tmimim. They see Hashem. They reckon. They relate with Hashem. Their bracha is more sincere.
Right. So that's
it's a more sincere bracha.
It would make even more sense.
Yeah. So my little kids, they come with a bucket next to the bed. So I first was doing it for chinuch, for teaching them.
Education.
Yeah.
My parents are going to think I lost it if I bring a bucket next to
them. Don't worry about what your parents think. Just don't put it under the bed. That's not good under the bed at night. But with my kids, when I asked my rabbi, he told me, don't only do it for the education, do it because spiritually, you placing a guard next to the bed doesn't touch the kid. The thing is that when you are very particular with all these little things, you bring so much kedusha on you, then you start reducing all the dirt from you. So it's much easier for you to guard your eyes and not to look at the wrong place. It's much easier for you to relax. Okay, I'm not going to lie now. I'll be more honest.
But when you do it with the bucket, why you do it again in the kitchen?
Because the water that was sitting next to the bed the entire night, they're also getting some type of... Mai mekablim tuma. Water gets tuma.
Okay. So the bucket, again in the kitchen, and then again after the bathroom, again one more time.
Yeah, with the bracha.
Three times altogether.
Yeah. And don't be cheap with the water. Pour a lot of water. No, a lot of people, they do it like as if we're under siege. No, put a lot of water. Wash all the tuma. And the thing is, you want to twist your hand a little bit so it will touch your entire hand.
It's halacha to fill the cup, right?
I fill up the whole quart. The thing is that Kabbalah explains that why we do it three times. First of all, when you do it three times, you do it on the right hand, the tuma jumps on your left hand. You do it on the left hand, it jumps on the right hand. It jumps, but after three times, it gets canceled. But Kabbalah teaches us that if you take 80 milliliters or cc or whatever you call it, it's enough power to push away the tuma. That's why if you look at the cups that you buy, it's exactly the amount of water that needs to cover the hands. But some people are very cheap. They pour it like as if we're in like a year of famine. No, pour a lot of water. But the thing is like this, now, the other day, I'm now traveling here, I'm not in my home, so I slept somewhere and we shared a room, me and another guy. And we only had one bucket. So we put it in the middle of the room and we said, whoever wakes up first brings to the other. So the guy woke up before me and he brought me water right away. So I don't need to go to the bathroom again, it's fresh water.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't there all night.
Yeah, he just went to bring it to me.
So it wasn't affected by the...
Yeah, water they get tuma. It's not good, like for example, in the olden days they used to... There's still a din in Shulchan Aruch to do it, I do it. But food gets tuma, fruit especially. So there's dinim in Shulchan Aruch in regards to maser and hekdesh and all this, that if it's such water in it, it can get tuma. One time they used to never eat wet fruit. There is a din in Shulchan Aruch. I always dry my fruit, not to eat it with water, because mai mekabel tuma, water can get tuma. The only way how water washes off tuma is if you wash it. Like you can put your hand under a sink, under a tap. It has to be koach gavra, a hand that pours the water. The thing is that I was taught right from the beginning that if you're very particular in all the small things that bring purity on you, then you elevate yourself to a higher level of service of God, then by default you are more holy, more kadosh. And then it's much easier for you to do all the little things. So, try to do it once. I practice it. Not to indulge food during the week. Not to eat treats during the week. Not to enjoy things. during the week. It sounds like a little bit fanatic. What, am I going to eat now? Am I going to enjoy? Yeah, eat. You don't have to enjoy steaks all day long. I see sometimes people all day long. You know, if you do it kafya with the very small things, it's easy to do on the big things. So I constantly do it kafya on my little thing. I want a third cup of coffee. I will literally fight my tava to get now my third cup of coffee. And one might say, oh, no coffee, just take the cup already. It's coffee. No, it's practicing the motion of I have this desire. A cup of coffee, it's not a sin. But I'm practicing the motion of not taking it. And I really want it.
Limiting myself.
Yeah, I really want this the third cup of coffee now. No, hold it.
What do you do in the airport, in the bathroom, when there's no cup there? And you
bring it? I take a cup from one of the kiosks. You know what I do in the airports? I'm now a professional, because the last 3 weeks, you know, I'm here on tour. Almost every day I fly somewhere. So I go to one of the stores. I ask for a cup. You got to be careful. Some stores, if you take a cup, you might be failing in Gezel. It's not your cup. You have to come and tell, can I take a cup? I not too long ago went to one of the stores. I said, can I take a cup? He's like, buy something. I'm like, okay, how much is a cup? A quarter? I'll give you a quarter. He's like, no, you have to buy something. So I bought a bottle of water. You don't want to be failing on Gezel or stealing because you didn't get permission. But I take a cup. I go to the bathroom. Now in the airports, they have these fountains to drink water. It's outside. So I stand. I fill up the fountain and I... So I did the mitzvah, and you know what? This is where Hashem is looking at you and saying, oh, look how much he's going the extra mile to do the mitzvah the right way. You know? So yeah, it's not the most convenient, and people looking at me like I'm like, but anyways, I look like weird, so I don't care, I'll do another weird thing. So I pour from the fountain a whole cup, I wash another one. I don't care. I go with food with me. So, you know, before I go on the plane, I don't want to do it on the plane because in the plane I can't do tilat yadayim to eat my bread because the only tap is in the toilet. Here, now you have a problem in the plane. If you're already stuck, then what I do is, you know, first of all, what I do, but again, this is being fanatic. So I don't drink before I go on the plane, so I don't have to go to the bathroom on the plane. So I'm not going to have a problem with doing the tilat yadayim, and then I can't continue learning on the plane. Now, if I have a long flight, a 12-hour flight to Israel, then you can be 100% perfect. You can be a little bit of chutzpan and go to the stewardess and tell them, I can't wash my hands in the toilet, can I wash it in the sink here? But look, sometimes the enbrira. Sometimes, you know what, I don't think I have it on my phone. Somebody emailed me a picture of this chassid who's sleeping on the plane like this, and he had the tray down, and he had the bowl of the Nagel Wasser on the plate. So you know what? If you have the place, yeah, take the bowl, do the hand, and then dump it in the toilet. I have this picture. Somebody emailed it to me. You know, I couldn't stop laughing. I might even have it. Let's have a look at my phone. But you know, Hashem always wants to see. And I'll give you another example. You know, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if you if you like, let's say, of course, this is in the time of Shulchan Aruch when they used to have how do you call it that they used to, like, when somebody would travel from city to city, then a whole group of people would leave. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago when they used to go on camels. It's called Shayara. Everybody leaves at one shot.
To follow the guy out?
No. There's a word for that. I remember reading it. But in the olden days, if I would be in town A and I had to go to town B and the entire trail, they're all going, and if I will not go, they would do that because there are robbers on the roads. And if I would ride by myself on my donkey, I would get robbed like that, if not killed. So they used to go in a shayara, like a trail, like, huh? Yeah, like a whole pack. Why? It would be much harder for a robber to rob 100 people or to... They would like kind of guard each other. And it's also, you know, they help each other, they support, they go in a trail. So there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if I'm not going to make it, if I can't daven quick enough and I'm going to miss the shayara, then I'm allowed to daven 18 on the camel, on the donkey, or on the wagon, sitting. So technically one might say, I'm on the plane now. It's time to pray. Sometimes, you know what happens sometimes? You go transatlantic. Within 3 minutes, It's time for Mincha, for Arvit. You know, you just crossed one time, I flew to Australia. There's a place that you cross. You know, you're going in light. You're going through the light. It's in a second, it's dark. So, you know, when you're going from North America to Israel, it's very tricky with the time, how you daven. So, you know, you can be in the air and you, it's time. I happened to me right now in my travels, I knew that if I'm waiting for the plane to land, I'm going to miss the time of Shkia. I have to pray Mincha. Technically, according to the din, I can sit and say Shmona Esrei sitting down, because I'm anus. I don't have to do it. And if I stand up, it's a small plane. You know what happens if I stand up? I'm like that. I can't. What do I do? Do I block the aisle now for 4 minutes? What do you do?
Sit.
No. That's what I'm saying. According to the din, you can sit down. But if you go out of your way to find the place where you stand for those 3 minutes, you not only that you did the mitzvah of praying, you went so much out of your way, how much more so is the power of your mitzvah? You know?
If you stand there, you might bother someone to be close.
So that's for sure. So you have to be very smart. So I went to the stewardess and I told them, I have to pray. Can I stand here in your spot for three? It takes me 3 minutes to pray. Can you mind if I stand here for 3 minutes? You know, you served already the food. You know, in the back of the plane, they have the place where the stewardess, they're all sitting there. You know? So imagine how much more power you have to the mitzvah. When you really go out of your way, you don't care about now what people are going to think of you. You know how many times I daven in the airport and everybody's like, what is this guy doing? So you daven and you do Kiddush Hashem.
The Arabs, they put a rug in the middle of the
road. Yeah, Arabs in the middle of nowhere, they pray. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do it on purpose. This is Shafuni Anas. Look at me. I don't care about what you think. Why shouldn't I do that? Why shouldn't I pray? So the thing is that you have to use a lot of your common sense when it comes to serving Hashem, but you also have to sometimes lit amet. You have to go out of your way to get something done. And our natural inclination, our nature, is so, like you said, I'll wash it in the toilet, I'll close the top. It's not the right way. If you don't have other option, fine, close the top. You know, be even better, maybe put a towel over it. But if you don't have an option, but if you do have the option, why should I not go out of my way? That's a lot of times where Hashem is looking at you. Are you going to go the extra step to do it the right way, or are you going to, let me just do it?
Yeah.
Whatever, just let me just do it. So, you know Hashem, you know, there's a parasha in the Torah, it says Ekev, it's parashat Ekev. Ekev is a heel. Ekev asher tishmonu l'mitzvotei asher amadi lachem. So, Rashi says Ekev, ha-mitzvot she'adam dash be'akevav. The mitzvahs that a man like pushes it with his feet, like, the mitzvahs of, I call them the mitzvah. It's not so important. Rashi says, no, Dafka, these are the important ones. Chazal says in the Mishnah, in Masechet Avot, be very particular with the mitzvah kala, very simple mitzvah, kechamura, one is severe. You don't know the reward or the power or the severity of the simple one and the extreme one. We don't know. Some people say, this is nonsense, this is a little thing. Hashem doesn't really care. He cares about Shabbat, tefillin, you know, but this, So Hashem sometimes is looking how you're treating the little things. Especially the things that one might say, it's not so important. But especially the things that are dear to Hashem. One thing that drives me insane, you know, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to drag the tzitzit on the floor. It says bizayon la mitzvah, disgrace to the mitzvah. Some shuls you go to, people sweep the floor with their tzitzis. It's black.
What about when you're folding? When you're folding it, the tzitzit sometimes.
So don't make it fall on the floor.
Yeah.
There's a difference if 1 second it fell and you picked it up. That. But some people, they just literally sweep the floor with their tzitzis. You sit down, I fold my tzitzit, I hold it, I cover myself, I don't let my tzitzit fall down. it's a mitzvah. It's a holy garment. What, you're sweeping the floor with it? Then you see sometimes people with the tefillin. You're not allowed to the tefillin to touch the floor, the string, the retzua.
Straps.
Sometimes you see people like, it's like flying everywhere. What are you doing? It's tefillin. It's holy. The Ben Ish Chai says that when you throw the strap on the floor, it's like you slap Hashem in his face. That's how bad it is. And you see people like, sometimes I see people coming to the synagogue with a bag that, you know, they throw it on the table. What are you doing? It's tefillin. Hashem looks at these things, how you're treating his gems. How you're treating things. So, you know, Hashem tests you with all sorts of things. He wants to see how you're treating the little things. That has to do with Kedusha. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch. You can't put the Siddur or the book like this on its face. You can't put book over book over book, whatever order you want. You can't put a Chumash and a Siddur over the Chumash. Chumash is more, in the hierarchy, it's much more important or more, I don't know how to
priority.
Say. How do you say?
Priority,
let's say. You can put a Siddur over a Chumash. Can put a book of Tanakh, of Nach, like Nevi'im or Ketuvim, over the Chumash. It has this order. And some people are like, yeah, it's all like one big mess. We're totally sidetracking, but the bottom line is that Hashem is very particular with the little things that you do, and He's looking at the little things, and the little things are also important. A lot of people, they don't do the little things because they're like, okay, I'm not so particular with the big things, so why should I do the little things? The thing is that we are a holy nation, and everything that you do that brings on you more kedusha, more holiness, then you elevate yourself. The more you bring on yourself tumah, impurity, then you lower yourself. That's why when you work on the little things, you by default make yourself more holy, you're more receptive to kedusha, and you become a more of a vessel for kedusha. Kabbalah explains that how you behave, how you conduct yourself, you become the chariot, Merkava. The same way that the jockey goes on the horse and it rides on the horse, and if the jockey goes like this, then the horse will go like that, or the guy who drives the wagon. So you want to be the chariot for something holy to ride on you. That's the Merkava, that the chariot, the jockey that rides on you is holy. If you make yourself the chariot, the vessel, that for impurity to ride on you by your behavior and your thoughts and your acts, then that's what's going to ride on you. But you want, you know, to be a Merkava l'kedusha. That's what the fathers, the forefathers, they were called the chariot, Merkava. They were totally annulled to Hashem. So they bring kedusha to ride on them. So you want to constantly concentrate that you making yourself a chariot to kedusha. Chevre, have a good night. Wish you great success. Bezrat Hashem, you take out from this door a lot of good little things to incorporate in your life. Try to take the time in the day to learn a lot of Torah. Don't let the Yetzer Hara come to you with excuses. Learn a lot of Torah. That's really the secret of fighting everything. Somebody who learns Torah a lot, he brings on himself a lot of kedusha. No excuses. As though you can always find time to learn more Torah. Zat Hashem, there's no time. Mashiach is coming any day. Chas v'shalom should not be more than a week or two. You don't want to be caught with your pants down. Literally. It's not going to be fun when, you know, besides that every one of us, every little act that we do brings the geula, the redemption, faster. We have a very big piece in the geula. Our actions count. Our thoughts, our talk, our everything. You want to be part of the process. You know, when Mashiach comes, each and every one of us will have a meeting with the King. You know what it means? To go into the King? To the room? King is going to tell you, what's your name? Yossi. Where are you from? Where you go park? What do you do for a living? Nothing. Then he's going to tell you the million-dollar question. What did you do to make me come faster? What are you going to tell him? If you're not going to have what to tell him, you're going to be in, it's going to be a problem. What are you going to tell him? Let me see. I was on Facebook 2 hours a day. Then you want to tell him, oh, I woke up in the morning, even though it was cold, I went to pray, and I learned, and I did a lot of acts of kindness. And then I went to Mincha, even though it was annoying. And then I benched, even though it was long. And I wanted to eat mezonot, but I benched. So at least you're gonna get a lot of recognition. If we would know what we're missing by the fact that we're in exile, we will all day long run after mitzvot. So Bezrat Hashem should have the koach to run after mitzvot all day long, and with our power bring Mashiach. Should happen very speedy in our time. We should all be zochet to see the geula amitit v'ashlema right now. And you can come with me to Eretz Yisrael.